This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Investigative reporting has taken a back seat at many newspapers these days. Budget constraints have led to cuts in staff and resources, and that's bad news for all of us. Democracies function best when people in power are held to account. Less coverage means less accountability. The Carolina Public Press may fill some of the void. It's an online nonprofit that reports on the 17 westernmost counties in the state. Angie Newsom is the founder and editor of the Carolina Public Press, and she joins us now to give us a look at what's new in western North Carolina. Welcome, Angie.
Thanks.
You're covering a lot of interesting stories. One of the biggest, I think, probably is the impact of state budget cuts in your region. Give us a picture of what's going on there and how the cuts have had an impact.
It's been a huge story for us, and at Carolina Public Press, we were, fortunately and kind of unfortunately, the only news organization in western North Carolina to have a reporter in Raleigh during the state budget debate, kind of taking a look at that debate from western North Carolina's perspective. And since the budget has been passed and since the dust has settled a little bit, we've been able to feel out what some of the ramifications have been for our communities. We cover, as you said, the 17 westernmost counties of North Carolina, and we're still gathering information about what those cuts mean. But we do know, for example, that education has had a big hit in our region. Just in Buncombe County, Smart Start of Buncombe County, which does more at four, now known as NC Pre-K for at-risk four-year-olds, they've had a $600,000 budget cut to their program, and that's really impacted early education for children from birth to age five and their families. For example, they are only able to serve 264 children, where before they were able to serve 330. So that's one of the impacts that we're seeing. They've also had to cut some of their health care programming, that type of thing. And then just in the county school system, there were 200 positions cut in Buncombe County Schools. And for an example, an assistant principal in Buncombe County now travels between two schools, both of which serve at least 500 students. So those are just two kind of pretty dramatic examples that we've been able to find just within our home county, which is in Buncombe. And certainly there are other nonprofits that are kind of tightening their belts in this area. The major food bank in western North Carolina, Manna Food Bank, closed their distribution center this October that was out in Franklin in the far west. And so we're still seeing kind of the fallout from the state budget and the general economic climate in western North Carolina.
It's a double whammy because, as you say, the nonprofits, the people who usually pick up the slack in hard times, YWCA, for instance, I remember reading it in your website, had to cut its dropout prevention programs.
They did. Right? That's right. So, you know, a lot of nonprofits have their home base in Asheville and have programs that span the region, and so they're reassessing their ability to provide those services in the far west, and so we're keeping an eye on that and kind of watching how that continues to develop.
And all that happens while, you know, kids who are eligible for a Smart Start program are taken out of the program, and then the schools themselves are cut. So the schools they're going to are not going to be as good as the ones that that they found before, and fewer kids are eligible. So all that's going on. You're covering that, and you're going to continue that coverage, I assume.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big interest for our readers, for us. You know, the purpose of Carolina Public Press is really to focus on the underreported and overlooked issues that are facing western North Carolina. And we tend to focus most often on kind of public affairs reporting, public policy reporting, and that's where the state budget plays a huge role, really sets kind of the priorities for the state and certainly for the region.
Now, mental health has always been a big issue in the state. Tell us about what's happening in western North Carolina.
Yes, mental health care. We've had a lot of developments occurring and services providing for the mentally ill. New River Behavioral Health Care, which is in Boone, it's a Boone-based organization, has just been the subject of a fraud investigation by the Division of Medical Assistance, which is a Medicaid agency in North Carolina. We broke the news on that fraud investigation beginning. And why that's important is that this organization is one of the last remaining public agencies that provided mental health services. There are very few and far between of those in North Carolina now. And the Division of Medical Assistance at the end of September notified that this agency that they were going to suspend payment their Medicaid payments, which in effect closed that service provider for, at that time they were serving five Western North Carolina counties. Earlier in September they pulled out of three other counties, McDowell, Alexander, and Caldwell counties. So there's been a kind of a rush to figure out how to continue to provide services, certainly mental health, but this agency also provided services for those with developmental disabilities, people with substance abuse issues. They also did inpatient and outpatient care. They worked with the court system and the school system. So it was a huge blow for Boone specifically, but also the surrounding counties that really relied on this agency. And so the counties also who had been funding this agency are figuring out new ways to provide these needed services.
Well, yeah, in the interim, where are those patients going?
Well, the Smoky Mountain Center, which is their management entity, it's based in Silva, has said that they're dedicated to helping those patients find other services. And there's an organization called Daymark that has stepped up and said that they are going to be providing those services to those patients. But there's been a new authority developed, the New River Service Authority, for five counties, Watauga, Wilkes, Allegheny, Avery, and Ashe County, that is coming up with a way to pay back payroll, figuring out what to do with the medical records for these patients. So there's a lot of details that are still developing. And in addition, the state itself is figuring out new ways to house those with mental illnesses that need kind of community services. And there's a big debate in the state about whether those patients can be housed in adult care facilities or adult care homes. And that's something that we're also watching in Western North Carolina, because one of the largest of these homes in the state is located here. So that's something we're also looking into and following.
Well, you're covering quite a bit of news up there, and it's a relatively recent development, the Carolina Public Press. Tell us a little bit about how you were founded.
We are very new. We just launched carolinapublicpress.org in March. This type of journalistic effort is something that I've been really interested in for a long time. I'm a former investigative and business reporter at the Asheville Citizen Times. Big interest of mine to see the future of in-depth and investigative reporting continue. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, the opportunity for journalists to do that type of reporting is decreasing. It certainly is the case nationally, and absolutely is the case here regionally and locally. And so thinking about what's an alternative or what's another outlet for this type of reporting, we decided to launch Carolina Public Press and see what kind of response we would get. And it's just been really overwhelming. I mean, I think it's, people like to say that people don't like this type of reporting or need it or want it, but it's absolutely untrue. I mean, I think that the launch of Carolina Public Press and the response that we've gotten has really proven to me that there is a future in public service journalism, that the core mission of journalism, which is to provide this public service reporting, to ask those hard questions, to do the investigative reporting, to do the in-depth reporting, is very much needed and is very essential to a working democracy, as you did mention.
You are online only.
We are.
How are you funded?
We are a nonprofit, which is unusual among media organizations. So we have private funders, donors who believe in our mission, who give us who are very generous with their financial support. We also receive the financial support of grantors like Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation and the Community Foundation of Western North Carolina. So we have our 501c3. We have a fiscal sponsor, which is the Institute for Southern Studies based there in Durham, which has been really great in terms of providing some mentorship and some assistance in fundraising. And that's how we're funded.
And who works for you?
Well, we have a large group of freelancers. We're all freelancing, essentially, for Carolina Public Press. We have reporters, most of whom have daily or at least weekly print experience, which is interesting. And we have photographers who have shot for, you know, the Washington Post, New York Times. One guy used to work in New Orleans and was part of the Times-Picayune's Katrina coverage and won a Pulitzer with that. So we have just an amazing group of very experienced journalists who are contributing to our site pretty regularly.
Yeah, sadly, there is no lack of great talent out there looking for work because of what's going on in the news industry these days. So it's great that you're doing what you're doing. You know, you said something interesting earlier. You said there was only one reporter at the State House covering for all of Western North Carolina, and that was from your organization. The idea that a region of the state would not have anybody at the State House covering what happened, and then that's only part of the story. Once it happens, you need to have people out in the field looking at the fallout and what's going on, and you're doing that. So keep up the good work, and we'll check in with you regularly, Angie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Angie Newsom, editor and founder of the Carolina Public Press, which you can check out at carolinapublicpress.org. Just ahead, the music of the Krueger Brothers on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.